is God more than enough? Is the Almighty God, the one who made heaven and earth, is he really more than enough for you?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message begun last week, which finds Abraham once again in a situation where fear has overwhelmed whatever faith he may have had in God's promises. Once again, fear caused Abraham to stumble in his faith, once again to doubt whether or not God would deliver. In the first part of the message, Pastor Grant led us to see how it was that God, once again, proved himself to Abraham, replacing his fear with renewed hope through a fresh vision of himself. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. This evening, Pastor Grant concludes that message showing how that same fresh vision of who God is can provide the antidote to fear and lead to a restored hope for God's people today. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis 15 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the second part of his message, God Can Rewrite Your Story. Here again is Pastor Grant.
You see, we're glad to have God in our life. Come on now. Many of us as Christians are glad to have God in our lives, but if God does not deliver the blessings on time, not only delivering the blessings, you know, he better deliver them on time. He's better deliver the job that you've been praying about. He's better deliver that health. Oh, you've been praying for, you've been not so well, and you're wondering why in the world is he taking so long? God, oh, you've been praying for that mate. Listen, do you know what Christians do sometimes? They may even give up on God because God has not delivered the blessing. You see, Abraham was focused on the blessing, not realizing that the blessor was the greatest reward. I don't want you to miss that. Sometimes we focus on the blessing. What can God do for me? And not focus on the blessor. And I'm here to let you know this morning, the greatest reward we can ever have is to have God in our lives. When we grasp that, when we come to that point, when we realize God himself is my greatest reward, I can get excited like the Apostle Peter, who said in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 7, to you who believe he is what? Precious. Jesus is precious to those of us who deep down in our souls have fallen in love with Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8, the Apostle Peter, he continues and he says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Oh, isn't it good to have God in our lives? Jesus is our greatest reward. God is not only our greatest reward. I know I pray this morning we may grab that. But listen, God is also our greatest source of hope. You see, God had big plans for Abraham. And here in Genesis chapter 15, if we go down to verse 4, you see, Abraham was losing hope, but God still had big plans for him. And sometimes we're losing hope, but God still has big plans for you. And even if you're not saved, I want you to know that some of you, this morning, he wants to start a journey with you because he really has some plans for you. He's waiting for you to start the journey with him. So let's see what he did here. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 4. And God says, after Abraham tells his little thing, oh God, you know, I really wanted a son. You don't give me no son. I'm going to have to make my slave a servant, one of my ear, because there's no son. And God said to him in verse 4, this one, this Eliezer, this servant, that's not your heir. Your ear is going to be one coming from your own body. God says to Abraham, Abraham, come outside. Come outside. Come outside. Abraham, I have got such big plans for you. I want you, Abraham, to look up to the heavens and count the stars if you can count them. Shoot for the stars, Abraham. God says, listen, Abraham, I am going to make your descendants like the stars in heaven, more than you can number. Abraham, I got some big plans for you. Oh, wow, wow, wow. I said it last week and I'm going to say it again. You see, I'm hoping that as we go through this series, you know, some of us grew up in families that we're in a little box. Some of us have grown up in families that have not allowed us to dream, to dare to dream. We have put ourselves in a little circle. But I want every young person here this morning to hear me good. Because I want you to know that the Almighty God has big plans for you, and He wants you to dare to dream. He wants to revive hope. Here's what the scripture said. We read the scripture a couple weeks ago, and we're going right back to it, and we may keep coming back to it till you get it. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And here's what it says. For I know the plans I have for you. What does it say? God has what? Do you believe God has plans for you? If you believe God has plans for you, let me hear you shout amen.
Amen.
So I gather from that there's at least 10 people who believe God has plans for them. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. Oh, it doesn't mean necessarily to make you rich, although God can make you rich if you want, if He wants to. But you know, some of the preaching, I was watching a guy last night, and it's all about God giving the money, giving the money, giving the money, giving the money, so God will, forget that. The best blessings are not financial. Did you know that? Boy, I tell you, there are people who are multi-millionaires and billionaires and they can't even get a good night's rest. But I can, so thankful to God, I can lay my head down to sleep because my God gives His beloved sleep. Aren't you happy about that? So here He tells them, listen, God says, I've got big plans for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans not to harm you. Plans to give you what? Hope and a future. Listen, God, you see, the idea that we have, sometimes we grew up, I said it before, sometimes we grew up with the idea that God is a big policeman in heaven and He has a big baton, a massive baton, and all He wants to do is to give anybody, whoever slip up, a crack in the skull. No, that's not God. God is not walking around trying to kill you. What God wants to do, isn't it interesting? What a perspective here. Listen, God says, I have plans to bless you. Oh, it is such a tragedy to see so many lives destroyed, so many young people doing their own thing and destroying themselves, and God has plans to bless. That's why I'm hoping every person in GCA will get busy witnessing about the grace of God. We have a story to tell, a story about a God of hope. Let us share this message. So God says, listen to you. He says, plans to give you hope. An old Bible was in a bargain store along with hundreds of tattered books. And a lot of people had picked up this old Bible, and since it wasn't in great shape, they had put it down. They didn't think this tattered Bible was worth the $3 it was selling for. But after a while, a man picked it up. And when he realized it was a Gutenberg Bible, now the Gutenberg press was the first press to print, the first movable press. So this is one that you can imagine, this was a real piece of history. When this man, as tattered as that book was, when this man realized it was a Gutenberg Bible, he was so excited. He rushed to the cashier and quickly paid. Unlike the other people, he realized that this Bible was worth over $1 million. True story, by the way. He realized this Bible in this bargain bookstore was selling for $3, but it was worth over $1 million. What a find. I've spoken to people and they tell me, my teacher says, you never amount to anything. I remember counseling with a man. He's an adult now. And while he was still an adult, he was still bothered because his father told him, you're no good. Some people feel they're no good because people have told them so. Some people feel they're no good, they're useless. They have no value because of experiences in your life. Sometimes it's because of some of the stuff you have done. But I know somebody who knows your value. I know somebody. You see, my God knows you are unbelievably valuable. Amen. Do you know what? Stay with me. Don't leave me yet. My God, you are an image bearer of God. Did you know that? No matter how tattered you might be, no matter what has happened in your life, you are an image bearer of God. You were made in His image. You bear His image, and He has big plans for you. And today, if you will enthrone Him as Lord of your life, a big party will start in heaven, and God will start rewriting your story. Are you willing to come to Jesus? But then third and final, not only can God replace your fears and restore your hope, God can remove your sin. In verse 6, something very interesting happened. Because here we have Abraham who is losing hope. God takes him outside, and here's what he said in verse 6. Here's what happens. Verse 6 says, Abraham goes up, he sees the stars, and he believed in the Lord. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. This is one of the most important verses in the entire Old Testament. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham looked to the heavens and listened to God, and his faith was reborn, and Abraham realized that he could commit his future to God. He could commit his life to God. And I'm here this morning to say to you that you can commit yourself to God. You can commit your life to Him. Will you do that this morning? Give Him your life. You can commit to Him. Abraham believed God.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
The Lord credited to him for righteousness. Listen, God is willing to do the same for you. He's willing to remove your sin and crediting you with righteousness. And this is the first step. I'm talking about God rewriting your story. God is not about to rewrite your story until this step happens. Until your sins are forgiven. Until He has credited you with His righteousness. None of the other things will take place. You know, some folks don't understand why this is a big deal. It's a big deal. Big deal. Why do I need God's righteousness? I'm okay. I'm not as bad as the next guy. You know, if you ever... Did you see what some of them boys are doing? Come on, preacher. I'm pretty good. I'm glad you're good. We're glad some nice people are here this morning. But are you as good as God? You see, that's the standard. The standard is God's righteousness. Are you as good as He is? In the book of Isaiah, the prophet uses a startling expression. And don't be startled when I tell you, but he says, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All the good stuff, the best you do is like filthy rags. Do you know what? You know what the filthy rags are? The filthy rags were the garments women would wear during their menstrual cycle. That's how graphic he got. He says, the garment that is used at that time, he says, the best you can do, it's like a filthy rag. The best compared to God's holiness. I knew I was messed up. That's why I'm so glad Jesus came down and saved my wretched soul. And this morning he wants to save you. He wants to give you his righteousness. So on one hand you have folks who figure, I'm okay. Perhaps that's you this morning. I'm okay. I'm better than most. I'm sure when we get to heaven, God has a big scale. You ever heard about the big scale theory? And God what? What does he do? He weighs your good and your bad. And if the good is better than the bad, what happens? You go right into heaven. In fact, not so long ago, there was a funeral here, and I didn't have a chance to stop them, but the funeral directors decided to do something, and they told everybody, they said, you know, all you need to do to make it to heaven is do right. All you got to do is do right. Just love your neighbors and love your enemies, and if you love your neighbors and love your enemies, you make it right in. Not. You see, all of our righteousness, I don't want you to miss that, sir. All your righteousness, the good stuff, God says it's like filthy rags. So that's one group. Then there's another group, the religious folks. The religious folks said, Brian, that's impossible. Nobody could get righteous. Nobody could get to heaven simply by believing. That is too easy. You must do stuff. You must do some work. I pass places and I see people as in our travels, people doing all sort of stuff to get right with God. Some staring at the sun to see if they could. Oh yes, people do that. They stare at the sun, they go blind because they're trying to do something that would make God see how serious they are. Isn't that amazing? People in false religions will do so much to try and make their God feel good. And Christians are right here. You're not willing to make any sacrifice. It's just amazing to me. We must do something. So listen, Paul knew this was the issue. So turn in your Bibles now to Romans as I try and bring this to a close. Romans chapter 4, because Paul picks up this story of Abraham just believing in God, and he's trying to help us realize how simple it is to get saved. It's simple faith. Romans chapter 4, and listen, I'm going to read for you just verses 1 to 3. What then shall we say that Abraham, her father, has found according to the flesh? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Listen, this is Old Testament teaching, and it's New Testament teaching. Salvation is simply by believing in God. Listen, three quick things. Salvation is not based on works. Verse 2 says, if Abraham was justified by works, he would have something to boast about. If we could get saved by works, can you just imagine what would be going on in heaven? We would have a little huddle, and when you go to check out what they're talking about, they're not talking about Jesus. They're talking about what they did to get in. Everybody's trying to better the next man's story as to what he did to make it to heaven. We don't get to heaven based on our good works, because Jesus paid it all. That's why Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. He was paying the price of your sin and my sin. Jesus was paying it all. Christ died for our sin. Salvation is not based on works. Salvation is based on grace alone. And so Romans chapter 4, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. You see, if you had to work, it wouldn't be grace. When my staff works for me and they get their check, I ain't showing them no grace. They deserve it, right? They worked for it. I owe them. God owes us absolutely nothing at all. And so God, in his grace, his unmerited favor, God reaches out to those of us who are undeserving. That's what grace is, unmerited favor. And God comes and he brings you salvation. But third, salvation is received by faith. And so he says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies, who makes the ungodly righteous, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Sir, I can't make it any clearer. Madam, I can't make it any clearer. God wants to rewrite your story. You may not be saved yet. You're not sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're not sure that Jesus Christ lives in your heart. If you're not sure, you need to make sure. Because when you say yes to Jesus, that's when the story begins. It's not by works. It's by grace. And what's the only thing you need to do? Faith. That's why. Listen. If any of you end up in hell, it's your fault. Because you can exercise faith. You can say to God, thank you that Jesus went to the cross and died for my sin. And today I want him to forgive me. I am believing and I am receiving his salvation. It happened for me when I was just 9 years old. As a 9-year-old boy, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to save me, to cleanse me of my sin. And he did. I'm talking to some of you, you're 5, you're 8, you're 10, you're 15. It doesn't matter. God saves the little children. He saves the young adult. He saves the old person. And he saves us all the same way. By faith. This morning, if you would reach out to God in faith. Say, Lord Jesus, I am not righteous. I am not going to depend on my works, but I want you to come into my heart and save me. He will save you. A brand new story will begin. God will rewrite the story. All your sin will be gone. The past sin, the present sin, the future sin, everything is taken care of. God releases your fears. Restores your hope and starts bringing you into his bright future.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.